June 6, 2017 County Council meeting. First things, approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have a recommended change today. We can strike under consent agenda item number one, wastewater agreement number 259-2. That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, motion to approve the agenda is amended.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Second. Wilson. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of May 23rd. Any questions or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Last night, I watched the Board of Adjustment hearing again last night, waiting for the dog, the commercial kennel and the fence issue to come back up, see what the decision was. The first thing is, when it came up, I had expected to see Mr. Robertson being the counsel on that hearing for the Board of Adjustment, since he was the one who heard the case and Mr. Sharp excused himself from the original hearing. Like I said during that whole hearing, Mr. Robertson during that hearing had brought up a bunch of questions concerning the kennels, the dogs, the number of dogs, the breeding, what triggers it. And during those conversations, also listening to it and listen to the back and forth discussion from the original hearing, was, is anybody who has a male and a female dog and they have puppies, do they have to give them away, or if they advertise it for sale, do they now become a commercial breeder? I think during that hearing it was discussed that breeding, once a dog is bred and once it gets a dollar sign, it's for sale. So if your dog has a mistake litter, do you have to give all the puppies away, or can you advertise them for sale to recoup some of the dollars? And how does Ms. Cromwell take every complaint that comes in for somebody who breeds? Is it going to be mandatory no more breeding in Sussex County if you plan to run a Craigslist ad, a guide ad, or any ad in there? Or how does it work? Because it comes down to wearing a thing, too. You have something in the code somewhere along the line. There's another conflict for up to 6 months old. Everything is such a gray area with our code for having the finite decisions. Even though the hearing, and left to get back to the original part about the hearing last night, when it did come back up, they moved, they had old business down at the bottom of the agenda, then they moved it back to the top of the agenda. The outcome was that the hearing that was for two special uses and two variances. Now, I've been on the variances for the fences. I thought that that was resolved with my neighbor being permitted. I at least thought that during, before it went tabled, Mr. Sharp or Ms. Crama would have said that we can remove those two fence variances because it's for agriculture and commercial, and just say the permit is approved. And the only thing that the board would have to consider would be the special use for the apartment, studio apartment, and a commercial kennel. So I'm just hoping by the next time it comes to hearing that a lot of Mr. Robertson's questions that he raised during the hearing would get answered concerning the dog kennels. And I can't say it more than enough. We keep having the same problem with counts and the animal counts, with the definitions not being correct. You don't want to bring it forefront, but Mr. Cole asked for the special, with the special events thing last week, or the meeting before, asked for it. It's now on the agenda for a discussion. It's like something's brought up that somebody wants to bring up. It gets right on the agenda and the discussion. I think with this dog kennel thing, if it's legal, not if it's illegal, anybody has a litter, you have to do the zoning code and fine them or send them a violation. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Didn't we when you had a sign law, sign ordinance, billboards, didn't you hire somebody to enforce them? Has anybody been hired?
Somebody does enforce them, yes. I'm not sure if we hired somebody, we had somebody on staff, but yes, somebody does that.
Well, why don't they do their job then? Fair and simple. Go up and sign in some of these roads and you've still got violations out there, and it's high time somebody removes them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. We amended the agenda under consent agenda, so we'll move to item number 2, wastewater agreement number 597-2. There was information contained in your packet relating to Sussex County project number 81-04, the Woodlands Phase 2 Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, and I have a motion for the council's consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation, Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 597-2, Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between County Council and Woodlands Development LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Woodlands Phase 2 located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Next is the second quarter employee recognition awards. We are joined by county employees today that will be recognized, and Ms. Jennings has information that we'd like to read, and we will call employees up and have their picture taken with the president of council. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Give Them a Pickle is a program that recognizes employees for exceptional customer service. Employees can be recognized by coworkers, county residents, and customers. There were 24 employees who received the second quarter award. A committee of supervisors and employees reviewed all the pickles and would like to recognize 3 employees. The first 2 employees received honorable mention. The first one is Jennifer Norwood in Planning and Zoning. She received recognition for going above and beyond by coming in after hours to address issues in the department that were timely in nature and not part of her normal duties. The second one is Will Godwin in Assessment. He received recognition for going above and beyond helping a gentleman who lost his wallet. Will was coming into the office and noticed a driver's license in the parking lot. Will did some research and found the gentleman to let him know that he had his license. Come to find out, the gentleman had his wallet stolen. Will went back outside and looked for other items. He did find other items such as the gentleman's Social Security card. Will later met with the gentleman after work and returned everything he found. The next employee has received the second quarter customer service award. This employee is Susan Wise of the Delaware Coastal Airport. She received recognition from a mother of a young pilot. The pilot became stranded in the airport due to high winds. Susan assisted him with finding a hotel in Georgetown. Unable to afford a cab and too young to rent a car, Susan dropped him off at the hotel and called his mother to assure that he was being taken care of. These are just 3 of the 24 pickles county employees received. At this time, we would like to recognize the 3 employee winners, along with the other employees that were able to be present today, by getting a group picture with President Vincent and Administrator Lawson.
Congratulations, employees. Please come on down to the front. We'll get a picture.
Are you going to take a picture of these people separate or all at once?
About time Mike received his pickle.
Yeah. I am a pickle.
You're a sweet one too, right?
Some might say deal pickle.
Good. Congratulations.
Will Sue and
And Jenny, will you get an individual picture with us, please? Very good. There you go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We'll do that.
Whoa, hey. You're not gonna bring your supervisor, Lee, Jim Becker?
Not necessarily.
What?
Good job, Ryan.
I can't get you the hardest.
Good job, thank you.
Here, a trophy, look at that, huh? I'm telling you, you're just, you're ready to go there.
It's almost like getting a star on a sidewalk.
Wonderful thing.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah, congratulations. Your picture will be on the song.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At the airport sign. Mr. President, while you're standing, we have a proclamation today. Proclamation proclaiming the month of June as Home Ownership Month in Sussex County. I believe we have some representatives from the Sussex County Association of Realtors. We'll make this presentation and take a few pictures. Proclaiming the month of June as Home Ownership Month in Sussex County, whereas owning a home is an important part of the American dream, and the Sussex County Council realizes that home ownership benefits individuals and families, strengthens our communities, and is an integral part of the economy. Sussex County Council realizes that home is where we make memories, build our futures, and feel comfortable and safe. The County Council, in partnership with the Delaware State Housing Authority, USDA Rural Development, nonprofit housing agencies, and the Sussex County Association of Realtors, will continue to provide assistance for home ownership for Sussex County citizens. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims the month of June as Home Ownership Month for the American Dream in Sussex County and urges all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this effort throughout the year. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, June 6, 2017. I believe we have some representatives today we'd like to make this presentation to and take a few pictures. Please come down.
Thank you.
Real quick, I'd like to introduce the president of Sussex County Association of Realtors, Bridget Taylor. She's the president this year. She's also with Keller Williams. So thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you.
Put out rose, we do thorns, and we're good. Thank you very much. Care saying?
Thanks. What's that?
Care saying? If you do,
go ahead, Bridget. All eyes are watching.
Right. Thank you. On behalf of the Sussex County Association of Realtors, I very much appreciate this and appreciate the support for sure. I believe that home ownership is certainly helping continue the American values and dreams and the cornerstone of our economy. And as I said, I very much appreciate your support, and hopefully the market continues to be as strong as it has been. We've certainly had several years of a downward cycle, and we seem to be on a good mode of home ownership these days. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councilman Cole and Arlett certainly hope so too.
I think all residents. I think most residents.
Especially those who make a living doing this.
Okay, thank you very much for being here. We'll move down the agenda to discussion regarding the definition of special events within Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code. As council knows, at our last meeting 2 weeks ago, there was a quick discussion and a request by Councilman Cole to have this item put on the future agenda, and some information pertaining to the county code would be discussed today, and seeking the council's guidance as it relates to this subject matter. Thank you, Amanda. As you know, there are certain sections within Chapter 115 of the County Code that allow for special events. Listed here on our TVs is the section of code we're referencing in this discussion, which has been copied and pasted directly from the county code. This paragraph is contained within a few sections of Chapter 115 involving zoning within county code. And I won't read it. I think you're familiar with what it says. This was amended as recently as 2013 to update the code, but that was specifically referencing our public safety and mass gathering policy for special events, which really we wanted to tighten up that policy to make sure that when special events of a certain nature require public safety coverage, including the county's paramedics and emergency dispatchers, as well as local law enforcement, fire company, and ambulance companies, that policy was updated at that time. There was a memo contained in your packet. I'll highlight some of the items that I believe Council wants us to address today. As you know, several events over the years have utilized this section of the code, including pumpkin chunking, car shows, children's festivals, rodeos, etc. This language was intended to permit temporary events with a short duration, of which requiring a conditional use approval for that event seemed overburdensome. Due to interpretation issues involving the special events language, staff recommends a review of this code to better define special events that does not require a conditional use approval. Specific considerations may include the following. The event timing. The timing of the event needs to be clearly defined. This includes the start time and the finish time. Consideration should also be given to the trigger of the start and finish times. For this topic, an event will start the moment the property begins to be prepared for the event. For example, say the event is a circus. The moment the circus tent is delivered to the property, should the event clock begin? The event clock concludes when the property is transformed back to its original state. We need to clearly understand when the event timing starts and stops. Historically, the Planning and Zoning Department counted the setup and cleanup process as part of the days of the events. Another consideration should be focused on the event duration. The event duration would include the number of days the event may run. Currently, the code allows 3 days. As stated before, the event duration includes a setup and cleanup days. Going back to the circus example, if the tent arrives on Friday, the circus opens on Saturday, and the tent is torn down and shipped away on Sunday, this example encompassed 3 days. Next, the number of events per calendar year should be clearly defined. The code is silent as to the maximum number of events that can be held on the same property per year in this particular section. Historically, the Planning and Zoning Department only allowed 3 events of the same kind per calendar year on the same parcel. Consideration should be made regarding different types of events occurring on the same property in a single calendar year. For example, does the council want to permit a circus in August, a car show in September, a rug show in October, an RV show in November, and a wreath show in December? You get the idea. Other considerations that we have experienced that the council may want to consider include the type of events when defining a special event. For example, should an event's impact on the surrounding properties be considered, like how loud the event is, such as a demolition derby, or the event's attendance, like a 50,000 person artwork show, or perhaps the location of the event, such as the type of road and area that the event is located on. These would be the considerations that we would seek council's direction on, and that is my prepared remarks, Mr. President.
Open the floor up to council for a conversation. Anybody have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, could somebody just tell me how are we operating currently? I mean, what is maybe Janelle come down and between the two of you tell us how we're responding to these requests today currently? Because, you know, Janelle's new and we you talked about our historical relationship with special events.
Sure.
So just give us an idea so when, you know, if somebody calls up one of us and complains about something, we have a response.
Sure. I'll ask Ms. Cornwell and Mr. Robertson to come forward. They've helped with these this information. And historically, requests would come in or information was given to Planning and Zoning Department, meaning perhaps a neighbor calls and says, what's going on in my neighboring field? And the director would investigate, and if a request was put forward based on the information that was given, a determination was made by the director of Planning and Zoning, Ms. Cornwell or Mr. Lank previously, relating to that special event. Up until 2013, when we updated the code relating to the special event policy, there was very little interaction between the land use side of things with the Planning and Zoning Department and the emergency operations side with dispatch and paramedics. The special event policy tightened that up. Ms. Cornwell, do you want
to? Well, let me just follow up and then maybe they can address this. As we are going forward, are we going to basically use the historical policy, or is there going to be tweaking of the policy? And is it anything in writing? I mean, I'm just wondering what we're going to do going forward. So
I would say that takes direction from you all, because the policy is not all that well, not the policy, the ordinance is not all that well drafted, because it talks about the duration of the event not exceeding 3 days. Well, you know, you could argue both sides of that. Is that the event itself, or is that the setup and tear down 3 days? You know, you think about like a carnival, for example, if they're trucking in a bunch of carnival rides, you're not getting that up, having your carnival and tearing it down in 3 days. And there has been some flexibility, I would say, by Mr. Lank in the past, because these have run a gamut from, you know, sales out in front of large box stores that they have on big holiday weekends, where they're bringing in large, almost circus-style tents, and the sale will run all weekend, but the setup and tear down of the tent, you know, is Wednesday through Friday on the front end, and then, you know, Tuesday through Wednesday or whatever on the back end. So there's not a lot of clarity, and I would also say that there's probably been an increase in the requests for these. It seems like what staff ought to do is look at the types of requests, or ought to consider with your consideration, is look at the types of requests we're getting, you know, and look at how they've evolved. Are they working? And then tighten up the code to sort of match the type of requests we're getting. But I do think it's important to have some flexibility in the code, because we don't want to make people that are, you know, that American Legion or a carnival or a charity or somebody that has an event that's a fundraiser or a 5K somewhere have to come in and get a conditional use. There's got to be, you know, some flexibility to allow these things in Sussex County to happen, because frankly they're good for the county. So.
In other words, you're looking at grandfathering.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with grandfathering.
No grandfathering at all.
Grandfather. Is there anything in our code says grandfather?
Well, certainly there's non-conforming uses in the code, I mean, in the zoning code, right? Yeah, I mean,
well, it sounds like a big grandfather net.
Well, we're not talking about any specific use, Mr. Wilson, so.
Well.
I mean, and these are all individual permits, so you can't grandfather a single permit.
Hold up a second. Mr. Cole still got the floor. Hold up just a minute. Then you'll be next. Mr. Cole.
My concern will be after today, we've got a current policy. We should probably have something right now. What are we doing? How does the county interpret this? Now, obviously, you can interpret things all different ways. We've seen this with other ordinances that are, say, poorly written. But I think that for Janelle's purposes, she just can't have an open slate here to operate on and just wing it each time somebody comes in. So until we get an ordinance and until we get something in writing and change this, or a policy, I've always been told, isn't really got much meat to it when you're operating on a policy that things should be an ordinance form.
Well, this is an ordinance. It's just it doesn't.
I know, but the interpret you just got done telling us it's kind of, you could look at it different ways.
Right.
Okay, I want to know is how is Sussex County government going to be looking at it so that we can address these issues. So
for the special events that we've received requests for this right. year, it has been, you know, they want to do a 1 day event.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have been 1 day events for different festivals, rodeos, etc. And the letters that have been written say you have 3 days. You can set up at this mm-hmm. day, your event is the next day, and you have to tear down and be cleaned up by the next day. So it falls within that 3 days. So your setup, event, and cleanup are all done within that 3-day time frame.
Okay. So that is that until we
address something. So our current events, now what happens when somebody ignores that? What is there a penalty anywhere? What would be the repercussions if somebody?
There is. There's penalties in the code, and the enforcement would go from the constable, you know, through the courts. But I have to be clear on something. I want to be absolutely candid on this. There's as much what that policy is, but in the enforcement side of it. You know, because again, the county historically has been flexible on that. You think of some of these events that, for example, Mr. Lawson talked about. So it's as much what could we do to enforce it, but you know, we have to have the staff and the ability to go out and enforce all these. And we have allowed people some leeway on either end of the event, you know, to do what they need to do to set up and tear down.
My only concern is she just read what she said, 3 days, set up, have the event break down or whatever. I think that Mr. Burton alluded to one time you were talking about when you had car events, you wanted to be open 3 days. So some people might have the intent of what they did and other dealers, have a three-day event, get in, get out real quick. Others might just have the one event. Like I say, it takes a lot of preparation to set up, a lot of preparation to sit down. I just want to know if she makes the decision to give him the leeway, the flexibility, and all of a sudden a couple of council people here, say three of us, say, what the heck's going on there? You know, in other words, I don't want to have her backed into a corner because she's made a decision. We need to give her some direction right now how to interpret that thing. So I'd love to have the attorneys to say, here's what we're going to do.
Well,
or somebody. Somebody.
I would say historically, as Mr. Robertson has referenced, over a long period of time, we've been very flexible under this. And it's going to take the council's direction to tighten that flexibility. And Ms. Cornwell is following the historic pattern of the Planning and Zoning Department and the administration of this ordinance and the policy thereof. So if we want literal three-day in and out, and if you're not done by 3 days, if that needs to change, then direction from council will change that.
Okay, so you're saying right now it is what she just alluded to is the staff, attorneys, Janelle, administration all feel that the setup breakdown all in 3 days.
What I'm saying is that the historically we've been very flexible.
Saying, we've been as we move forward from today. I'm trying to just say how are we interpret that today?
It's just we're moving forward from today.
I don't want to go out here.
We want us to have a sound legal footing. The ordinance needs to be changed because this ordinance is not.
Well, no, I'm that's going to be my last thing today. I think hopefully there'll be a consensus that we need to look at this ordinance.
If you don't like the historic administration of this ordinance, then as Mr. Robertson said, we'll.
But
need
historically,
to
we've been flexible, and historically, we've not been flexible. I mean, so but starting today, how are we historically going to deal with it for Janelle's sake and Vince's?
If we need to tighten the language up, then if that's what you're telling us, then that's what we'll have to go back.
I want to know how we're going to a special event comes in. Are we going to be flexible with everybody or some?
Mr. President, may I ask a question as it relates to this question?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
If I may, sir, please. Why are we here is the question I would have. I mean, the reality is there has been this thing going on. And how many people have been concerned with respect to previous events that have been going on as relates to these special events? And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, so are we barking up a tree that's not necessary? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm just asking, why are we here today? Is there been a real outpour of concern from the community? Have there been any safety issues? Have there been any health issues? Why are we here today is the question that I would have.
Let me explain that.
Please.
We're here today to be proactive. There are many instances where we sit back and watch something develop. We got something out on Indian River right now that has gotten out of hand because the county government looked the other way. So we've seen examples up and around Dover. They have a thing called Firefly. Started small, huge, huge. So we either got to find out, is this appropriate? And when after, how many special events is the event not special? I know if I was going to have a yard sale, after three of them, I've crossed a threshold in this county. But how about when it comes to big concerts that may be getting bigger and bigger because they are. My daughter went. She had tickets. She bought tickets. She had a great time. I mean, and it's nothing to do with that. It's just I think we got to get it in a framework so that we don't look back and say, where were we? So all I'm trying to say is, how are we going to address it so that the applicants understand it, the county understands, and when I get a complaint, you know, how can they do it? Can you go to any farm field in this county and start throwing events? And again, so I'm trying to be proactive. I have no problem with the concerts, but let's get it in a framework that we can deal with, because if this is successful, I'm sure it will be in a resort when you have hundreds of thousands of people around, that there'll be others mimicking it and wanting to do it, and got no problem. It's part of what we do here in a resort area, but let's get it in a framework that makes sense. So do you want to wait till there's a lot of problems? Go ahead. That's typically how government reacts. We respond to some big problem. I think at this point, we've been put on notice. People have called me. It's been in the paper. There's some concerns. I even think our administration tried to deal with it a little bit, and it seems that we're kind of like we're in a flux here with what to do. So I'm just trying to, till we get an ordinance that's tightened up, how is the county government going to address special events is basically what I want to know today. And then I think we need to have our staff look at making a better ordinance and things like that. So, I mean, I think it's just trying to show good government and not play catch up. So that's part of the problem. I mean, that's it. So will there be camping on site? Will there be this on site? Will there be that on site? We don't know. And like I said, yard sales, 3 yard sales, you've crossed the threshold. I think this is a little different than a yard sale.
Okay.
All right. So,
Wilson, you had 4 now, sir.
I guess as long as we don't help finances, as long as we don't keep, come up a little closer so you hear me. I wish you quit interrupting, Mr. Dan.
Now he can hear you.
Did you hear?
No, he hears you.
I said, as long as we keep financing the events, we're okay. Okay. Is that right?
What?
Well, it is. The Freeman organization has been financed by the county council here. Now, is that all right?
That's not a special event. That's
why is that a special event?
It's not a special event.
Why is it not a special event?
Because it was not approved as an MRRPC as part of the Americana Bayside project, which is allowed to have uses like
other, that. Other words, we need to go by and approve MRCs and say it's okay to have these events. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's what you ought to say, tell me. Would you mind repeating what you just said again?
What I said was that the Freeman stage in Bayside is a permitted use within an RPC. They have special approvals for that, which is entirely different from a special event one time.
You use that word special approval. Is that true? How come we can't give these other guys special approvals and finance them? What would be wrong with that?
I don't know how you answer
it. Yeah. I guess they got to apply to be an MRRPC first.
Well, you know what? You don't want to hear it just like it is, do we? That's probably George's problem down here. Well, I know this has happened in the past. We give money to this organization, the Freeman organization down here, and we can't. And yet they said it's good for the children. I don't know how it could be good for the children when you have drinking on the site. How we finance that? Those kind of things. Then why ask about grandfathering? I was talking here a while ago about Melvin Joseph's racetrack down here in Georgetown. Would that be considered, is that grandfathered?
Yes, that actually is. That actually predated zoning. So that is a legal non-conforming use. But that is nothing to do with this special event.
Okay, that
discussion.
In other words, it's not like, we don't call that under, what's the number, 501? We're giving away money to try to help other people.
It's got nothing to do with money.
They said nothing to do with money, Mr. Wilson.
Well, I think that's why we gave out money here, because it's to help other people, so have buses to go to special places, so that because it's going to help out children. Is that not true?
That's why we did that. But we're
I believe that's true. I think that's what I said.
Mr. Wilson, we're talking now about a special use exception for an event, nothing to do with busing children or giving money to anybody or
well,
Freeman
thing. I'm not against children, believe me, but I tell you, if we don't watch ourselves, our time will turn around, we're just adding more government. We can't do nothing for ourselves. It's amazing. Melvin Joseph got a racetrack. If he came before us today, he wouldn't get it. I can tell you that. It'd be too much noise.
Sam, I don't think it's fair to bring in these other organizations that aren't on the agenda today.
Why not bring in other organizations if you want to bring in new ones?
No, just...
Let's stick where it's right, okay?
Okay. Any more questions to council? Mr. Burton.
I just think events events come in, you know, different shapes and sizes. I think events, you know, events come in different shapes and sizes, and they come with different, you know, different events on different roads. You know, you mentioned the big box stores. Well, that's on Route 1, right? So that, you know, that that maybe needs to be taken into consideration that it's a special event on a major artery, and it ought to be encouraged. So I think the essence of the of that blue screen was to encourage these events, right? So I think we have to encourage them with looking at what they are, right? So I think looking at a lacrosse tournament ought to be a little different than looking at a concert venue. And we have to find a way to take, to if there's a problem with this, to not to discourage it, but to encourage it through, you know, through information. And I can tell you that I got a few calls on it. I called Janelle, and you know, I don't know that you knew that they had made contact with the state police and the EMS and the, you know, so, you know, I think us knowing that, you know, all these trip wires have been hit. And it's going to be an okay event. I think that's kind of the information that I need to know, right? Or is this event really going to produce the safety that we need, right? Is it in the right place? You know, so I don't know if I said anything other than I don't want to trip this up, right? I don't want to trip it up, but I do want to look at the different type of events. And their time, you know, I just think we got to look at it and say, you know, how do we keep it going, but take the pressure off of you by giving so it's not so loose, right? And take the pressure off of us by having some way to say, hey, this is okay. This one, you know.
So. IG, are you indicating that maybe a similar like we're doing with the commercial zoning? In other words, maybe special events should be sporting special events, concert type sporting, maybe carnivals. You know, in other words, there'd be different categories, and maybe there'd be different your flexibility on setting up and the other things like that, and times and stuff like that. So I think if we, and hopefully we will direct the staff to, you know, look at this ordinance and address it, and that would be maybe I agree with you. A lacrosse tournament or soccer tournament obviously would be much different than a concert or a circus. So I could foresee doing that and breaking it up into different little categories.
And I think the tear down and tear up needs to be looked at.
Right?
Because it's almost, you know, it's almost, it was unadvantageous for me, you know, because I would have rather have sold for 3 days. I would have rather delivered, sold for 3 days. And then removed, right? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the rule, right? So, you know, to work all night to get it, to return a parking lot to be an empty parking lot, I mean, I didn't do any good there, you know? So I think we got to look. I mean, I just don't think we ought to make the circus.
I don't disagree with you.
Rip everything out at the end of the show. They're not coming, right? Why would I come, right? I can't do my thing. Because I can't get out of there in 6 hours after the show. That's not right.
Anything else from council?
Good idea. If I may, Mr.
Well, actually, there's no noise left there after leave anyway, so what difference does it make? Why waste such a hard to tear it down? That's true. Everything's quiet. I mean, everybody's going home. So I don't see no need. Why I need to close this time up? I'm so close.
Mr. Arlett?
Just a comment slash a question. And first question is are we going to have input from the public as it relates to this? That would be a question that I would have. I mean,
if we do anything with ordinance, you got to have a public hearing.
I mean, just in general, in a general conversation, not even sure if we even need to go to an ordinance change. And I don't know that yet. I mean, I haven't heard from anybody who's done any of these events as of yet, you know, their concerns, their anything. I mean, so even that from the general public. So I'm not even sure if we need make a change because we haven't heard from anybody yet. I mean,
did you just hear the attorney say that it's very hard to interpret this ordinance we have on the board there is very weak. Now, don't you want to tighten up?
I want to hear from the people.
Elected official.
Yeah, and I represent the people. That's who I like to hear from.
Yeah, but they've elected you to make some decisions on your own.
Based on the input of others. So I'm not here being a dictator thinking what I think is best for all people without their input.
Amen.
That's plain and simple. So, and I think at the same time, we have to, just a comment, we have to be cautious to, as Mr. Burton had stated, we want to attract more and not detract others. We don't want to. I don't think we need to. I don't think we as a community want that. We are the community of fun. We are the community of the lifestyle. We are the community of the dream. They all come here for a reason. So I think we have to be cautious about being so good that we deter, quote unquote, so good, that we deter of who we are. Doesn't mean we can't make changes. Doesn't mean we shouldn't consider looking at tweaking. But at the same time, I think it's relevant to have the input of the people who are most impacted, those that participate as consumers, and those who actually put on the events. And what are their concerns? Because I can tell you right now, I want them to come to Sussex County, because we're the pro business and pro fun community county versus any other county in the state or surrounding counties in other states. So we want them coming here versus elsewhere. Doesn't mean we can't do some tweaking. That's my point. I think it's relevant to be cautious, at the same time having the input of the people. So are we permitted to have the input of the people here before we even go down a pathway of an ordinance? I'm not saying today. I'm just saying in general,
As a rule, the public does not participate in the meetings. It is advertised on the agenda so the public could see the deliberations of council. That way they know to contact you and discuss this with you. We also have public comment at the beginning of the meeting. Typically, what would happen if any council person could decide that they wanted an ordinance drafted and drafted in a certain way, at that point there would be, since this involves zoning, would entail a hearing before planning and zoning, a public hearing with discussions, and then there would be, after the recommendation comes to county council, then there would also be a public hearing here and open discussions. But that's when the public actually comes to the podium and has an opportunity to address it. And you know yourself, oftentimes we have amended what the initial ordinance was based upon the input.
Sure.
You know, being the new guy on the block, and recognizing what George says is to, hey, we got to give some direction, but with an increased number of, I just don't think we're going to know what we're doing until the end of the year, right? Is it wrong to kind of let this run and see where it goes, and then make the necessary changes?
No, I think Vince has alluded to it. We have an ordinance that is very difficult to enforce. But so no matter what we do, huh?
If we, by not knowing this, how different things are going to function, we may write something in that is very, very detrimental because we haven't seen what.
Well, we haven't really been monitoring. I'm just saying there's some, I think, logical things we can do. Flexibility on setting up. Looking, like you said, there's different impacts. I think until we get something in writing, people won't respond. Otherwise, it's like a lot of hearings where you try to get some input, a handful of people show up, and you know, anyway, we'll talk in circles. But until you get a document that's in paper, you know, written, that people can look at and study. And that's what I would think. I would come up with a conceptual ordinance, a draft ordinance, for circulation that would address some of the things we've just done today, which doesn't prevent any of them. We're trying to encourage. I don't have any problem with them. I'm just saying it's kind of a an open-ended, it's just one of these ordinances that we're stuck with that are just poorly written. Let's get it written right. It's been brought to our attention. Get ahead of the game. And I just think we ought to write it. I just want Janelle to have some direction today on how to interpret that. And then we ought to then have staff come back with us with some suggestions. But until you get something, I think, really a draft form, then you'll see the people who are opposed and support, you know, start making some good comments. But other than that, we'll just, again, we just waste time talking, and stuff like that. So,
Mr. Cole.
Mr. Wilson.
I believe you made a statement. We have been modern it. I think that's...
We did what? What was this? We
have been modern it. Not modern it.
Monitoring.
Monitoring.
Yes, sir. Isn't that what you just said?
No, we haven't been monitoring.
I mean, that's what you said.
I don't know.
We have not been monitoring.
We have not been monitoring. There, I just said, okay, what about that?
That means we're not up to par where we should be.
No.
I think I go along with what Mr. Burton here says. I just second his motion.
He didn't make a motion.
No motions, sir. No motions.
He said I said something that we haven't really been monitoring these events over the last 30 years, and maybe he's.
What you said.
I don't know what to what scrutiny. I think most people know the impact of pumpkin chunking. Is the Scrapple Festival, is that a special event?
It's in town
limits. Okay, right. I mean, you can rattle off a bunch of special events, Sam. I think a lot of us have attended them. And have a feel for it. I think there was enough people, staff, that were at this last event that we were watching it. So I don't think it takes a genius to figure out some basic things to address in an ordinance, with an ordinance poorly written like this, just to make it much better so that Janelle can actually have and encourage. Somebody comes in for a special event, she says, here's what you're going to do.
Would you mind telling me what event you were talking about that you had a problem with?
The ordinance is poorly written, Sam. The attorney just said it. I think that's the consensus of the legal department.
I understand.
I'd like to get a better ordinance so that we can have something we can enforce.
I believe you just got done saying the event was, you had a problem with the event that's just come up.
No, that's not
what I give up. I got it. If I had a towel, I'd throw it in.
That's not what he said.
I'm throwing in the towel, Sam.
I'm going to have to take recording what you're saying.
Okay.
Mr. Lawson, you have any comments? You have none, you say none. That's fine.
My only comment is if you'd like staff to take some direction, we would need that direction given today. And it's just, it could be simply fix it and we'll go to work. If you have any specific direction, we'd like that too. If you don't want us to fix it, you won't see us again relating to this issue.
Let me, before we drop this, are we interpreting this ordinance like you stated and Janelle stated, both of you have just stated, the way you think we should be interpreting this? Is so just for her benefit, I want to know, does it mean setup, breakdown? What's it mean? Please.
I'm going to answer it.
Maybe the council, is there a consensus to support that?
I'll answer it for Janelle and say this. Historically, we have administered this ordinance in a very flexible manner.
Okay.
So there is no such thing as 3 days.
If it goes more than 3 days, we have not taken action.
But okay. I think there's a difference between the event and the setup and teardown.
For her benefit, I just want to know how we're going to go to the rest of it until we get a new tightened up ordinance that we've had public input, everybody's input, and we put a new one in that we can enforce. So if that's the case, just tell me so that when somebody calls me up, I'll just say, current county policy is we're very flexible. Is that the consensus of this, of the elected officials here today? I'm thinking you'll be here, the same people will be here next week and a week after, but today, you guys. We need to give her some leeway. Like Mike just said, there's no 3 day thing. Is that
look? If what Mr. Lawson just said is we're flexible,
but a minute ago,
then
Mike,
I guess you can be 4 days or 5 days or 2 weeks or a month or whatever. Is that how flexible we are?
Part of it, I got to be honest.
But it's
part
the
of
event
it is, it's
that
the
we're
ordinance.
Talking about.
The flexibility well, comes event. From the enforceability of that ordinance. If I'm in court and I have to argue this ordinance with an attorney that represents an event organizer, we're going to have a hard time succeeding because event's not defined. Special's not defined. Does special mean it happens one time? Does it happen 10 times? It is so vague that it's difficult to enforce. So we
That's
have tried
true.
To be cooperative with the event organizers so that there'd be an understanding that it's basically 3 days. You've got 3 days. Don't abuse the 3 days. You know, you can set up a little bit before, you can tear down a little bit after, but we've had to be flexible because this ordinance does not give us a lot of legal teeth if we're in court fighting over it. And there you have it.
And one follow-up question. Let me just get while you're on the topic. For her to deny one, she has the ability to deny, correct? What would be the grounds of denial for Janelle?
At this point, I don't know that we should answer that because it's going to depend
okay.
on the specifics of whatever it is that's
okay.
been applied for. I mean, that can come from location. It can come from roadways and access or EMS.
I'll ask it a different way. Has there ever been an application that's been denied?
That
I am not aware of one.
There
but
have been,
I'd have to go back and look.
There have been some that have not been, I don't know, so much denied over the years, but have been told because they're all summer long, you know.
They're not special.
They're not special, so apply for a conditional use. You know, where it was obvious from the start, this is a thing that's going to have a duration of, you know, weeks or months or whatever during the summertime, you know, it's more permanent, I guess. So, but then you'd have to apply for a conditional use typically.
Well, so where we are is that we're very flexible. You can pretty much do what you want. Is that what I'm hearing?
What would you
say? I wouldn't go that far, Mr. Buffett.
Where do you stop it?
Well, and again, it's going to depend on the circumstances. If it becomes permanent, you know, if it's a permanent thing that's happening all summer long, clearly that's no longer special and the event has exceeded 3 days. I don't know at what point that starts and stops, but that shows the significance of us having to look at this ordinance so that if we're going to enforce it for somebody that's, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, we're going to have trouble with that potentially.
Okay. And the next question I'd have, I guess, I think I heard somebody say, of course, our policy was 3 days. Now we don't have a policy. So that policy's gone. I heard there was 3 events per year, like events. Is that also gone? That doesn't, we have 25 we want to?
So, historically, Mr. Lank, previous to Ms. Cornwell, used the 3 per year because that is a reference in another section of code. We didn't want to get too technical and legal today, but that was the number that Mr. Lank historically administered to say 3 times a year, 3 days. So that is why we referenced that duration or how many amount of events could happen per calendar year.
Is that what we utilize today?
In general, yes. That is what the direction that we give applicants when they come into the office.
So a person couldn't have 4 circuses in 1 year?
Could not. That is correct.
So 3 is where we are following that fairly well. 3 of whatever it is, carnivals or car shows or whatever.
Historically,
on the same piece of property in 1 year.
Yes. I'll say generally yes. And historically, the intent of this special event was one time.
Right.
You know, we want to have a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. Generally speaking, hardly any event of any size can be set up and torn down in 3 days. That's a lot of the flexibility is around that. But historically, yes.
I mean, I think if you go back way back, this whole thing was brought up for the purpose of nonprofits, of the local fire departments, the Kiwanis clubs, the churches who want to have a carnival for a week or 3 days or whatever they want to do with it, mm-hmm. to give them some way of doing that without having to get a conditional use for a piece of property.
Correct.
I think that's a pretty fair summation of what happened.
They'll probably have to move back in town so they can get a permit.
But I would say, sitting here and what our conversation has been the last 15 minutes, I'm kind of changing my mind. We need to have some kind of the idea of it's we're very flexible. You can take 5 days or 25 days. I don't think that's a good answer. Wait a minute.
Sure.
I mean, flexible is flexible because who's going to say what is, okay, now you're past being flexible or whatever. So someone's got to determine that. I mean, flexible means like the old Wild West. I mean, just do what you want to do, wherever you want to do it, and doesn't matter who cares what about it. So I'm thinking this thing needs to be certainly tweaked. I think there needs to be something in the thing that, and I would agree, maybe 3 days that somebody wants to have a carnival. You can't set it up, have it, and break it down in 3 days and make any money at it. So it needs to be longer than that in some respects. So that's something we've got to look at, I think. And the idea of number of events, I mean, at some point in time, it should not be a special use. It should be a conditional use because you want to do the same thing every month or every 2 months or every whatever, you know what I mean? So I do think we need to do some looking at this thing, not make some kind of rash decision about it, but it needs to be some thought put into it. But it certainly, I can see where Mr. Robertson's saying, if anybody ever questioned or challenged or whatever something that Ms. Cornwell did, there's not much ground to stand on with this flexibility we have. Be hard to go to court. I'm not a lawyer, but whatever.
And let me just be clear. I want to clarify something I said. The duration, the events, to my knowledge, themselves have never exceeded 3 days. That's right. Not where the flexibility's been. It's been on the front end or the back end. With
the setup. And right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I want to be clear on that. We haven't ever allowed somebody to do something for 5 days or a week or whatever. It's, right. Mm-hmm. It's been when they've come in, got their tents up, or amusement rides, or rodeo fences, or whatever.
Right. You know, when they actually started having a function,
yeah.
Not preparing for it,
right.
Getting rid of it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mr. President, a possible solution towards kind of wrapping this up, or the next step would be, Mr. Lawson had put together a sheet in the packet which had some suggestions from staff. Based on that, there could be a draft ordinance tweaking the current ordinance with this. That could be circulated for council to look at a later time, and then suggestions, and then later. That at least that gives a starting point.
Sure. And that's probably a valid point. And to Mr. Burton's point, let's face it, we've got something we can look at, make comments, suggestions to create some kind of a draft. By the time we get all that done, if it's introduced, and it goes through P&Z, it goes through here, we'll be in the next year.
Sure.
So we'll have this season to look at, mm-hmm. is what happened. So.
Exactly.
May I ask the staff a quick question as it relates to the public safety piece? Because I'm curious, you know, a permit is given, and then based on the event, I don't know who dictates or who mandates or where it goes, but obviously in many cases, or in some cases, perhaps DLDOT's involved with respect to traffic or even the DSP or EMS. Do we do a conditional approval? I mean, this permit is permissible, comma, conditional upon the approval of these other entities. Are we involved in ensuring that whomever and whatever event is going on, that these other pieces of the puzzle are in place?
So the way the letters have been written, it says the approval is contingent upon a special event application being approved by the Sussex County Public Safety Services prior to the event. They have all been done that. We also note that if they're going to be serving food or alcohol or there's traffic, that they should contact those agencies, and then they should contact and get the appropriate approvals from those agencies prior to the event. And in some cases, we've had people provide copies of those approvals to us prior to the event.
But we're not requiring that.
We do not require that.
So we could give an approval, but it's really not conditional upon anything as it relates to requirements
right.
from other things.
Correct.
Is that correct?
We do make sure they have the other county approval, but we do not have... do not require approvals from the other agencies, but typically they do provide copies to us prior to. We've had a number of events that will get us those ahead of time.
Well, that would be a concern for me as it relates to, you know, that we're not ensuring that the other pieces of the puzzle are in place, that we're just giving it without following up and making sure that people are being held accountable on the entire piece of the puzzle, not just our piece. And so I would suggest that we make a conditional approval on whatever, if there's no change or if there is a change, that these other pieces are in place and we have confirmation that they have been completed. Because otherwise, I think we're being irresponsible in giving that permit, not knowing with certainty that the other parts of the puzzle will have been completed.
But like IG said, if certain things like a car show may not need the same...
Oh, I agree. No, I'm just saying whatever it is that's required.
Who determines that? I mean,
yeah, the event, exactly. The event determines, and that's why an ordinance ought to reflect that certain events would require these checkoffs,
And we need confirmation probably, because right now I know we're not getting much of anything, or nothing's required.
I would say that if we head in that direction, that will result in the county becoming sort of the clearinghouse of all those agency approvals. So, for instance, if an event needs state police, DLDOT, alcohol, public health, DENREC, who knows, we would have to make sure that all of that is done before we hand over our approval.
Right.
Sometimes we get these requests and they're days out, and they're working with those other agencies while they're working with us. I'm just making you aware of, if that's a suggestion, it would certainly elevate the level of interaction that we currently use.
Well, and that perhaps could be part of the public input as it relates to these from these organizers and just in general, because I don't know if that's what's the process, or is it too cumbersome or not. But I think it's something to consider and look at, that's all.
I would just say that these are so widely different. You know, so a rodeo probably deals with the Department of Agriculture, whereas, you know, a carnival deals with, I think the fire marshal inspects the rides. And you don't know if they're going to have alcohol, and if there's food, what part of, you know, whoever does the food inspections. It would be hard to know which ones you do need and which, if you're missing any. I think that we got to think about the burden that places on staff just to be able to track that, because they're so different, each one of them.
Well, the next thing we have to check is see if they got insurance.
I mean, yeah, that list kind of just
which is pretty important.
I will say, from a public safety standpoint, cooperation with state police, right, and local fire and BLS, we do that all the time. So that element to this special event coordination is a well-oiled apparatus, in my opinion.
Anything else from council?
Just the last thing. Are we going then to proceed with working up a draft? I mean, is there a consensus? Is there a consensus to do that with everybody? I mean, it just so that we don't.
Do you want
them
to work up a draft, or you want to take the document that Mr. Lawson shared with all of us and everybody, mark up some things, and then give it to?
Well, whatever. But I'm just saying, if that's part of the process to get to the draft, yes. But I think we do. Is it recognized that we need to do something with this ordinance? And I believe, from what I've heard, we should be doing something with revising, tweaking, or whatever you want to call it, with this ordinance. So whatever the first step is, if it's suggested by Todd to come in for a conversation on some of your points, let's do that. Then the next step should be the draft.
We'll work up an outline if you're okay with that.
Like Mike said, it'll be a year, you know, be next year before we get
an outline, share that with council, and give everybody a couple weeks to get back to you or something.
Okay. But I'd like to get it in the wheels of turning on it, just so we don't see it die.
If we make any changes, it'll be a long process. So,
right.
Anything else from council?
Let's see if we can do better.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janelle.
Mr. Lawson, your report.